Mike, spring is upon us. It's finally April, and you know what that means.
National Park Week is here. Every April, the outdoors community celebrates National Park Week. And if you're making your way to some national parks this spring, then be sure to pack a moon travel guide with you.
We all know how time-consuming it is to research everything involved with planning a trip to a national park, from hiking trails to permits to campsites to accommodation. There's so much involved.
Don't spend months endlessly searching, trying to build the perfect trip, when you can do it all with Moon Travel Guides.
Moon Travel is the travel guidebook publisher for ethical and sustainable travel. They are committed to the national parks and ensure that all of their guides are up to date with the most recent and most helpful information for travelers.
And if you find yourself headed to Wyoming, then be sure to include the newest, most updated edition of the Moon Travel Guide to Yellowstone and Grand Teton, Hiking, Camping, and Wildlife. In this guide, outdoor expert Becky Lomax takes you through everything you need to see, know, and understand about these two neighboring parks.
From trip planning, the best spot and times for geyser sightings, food recommendations, lodging, the best trail information for hiking trails, updated maps. This Moon Travel Guide to Yellowstone and Grand Teton has you covered.
For more information and to purchase the Moon Travel Guide to Yellowstone and Grand Teton, be sure to visit moon.com.
Let your heart be your compass. Let Moon be your guide.
Let's talk about scrambling.
I know. Especially when it's last minute, you feel unprepared, and you're just left to throw things together.
To wing it.
Wing it. Scrambling. Not that kind of scrambling.
Mm-hmm. No, we're talking about eggs. So expensive.
So expensive.
I thought that
Why would I want to,
fixed?
Like, ruin them? Like, yeah. We need to keep them intact.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like they're more valuable that way.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, we mean scrambling, the rock climbing term.
We do. Or sometimes the hiking term, because most of the times, you know, when we think about a scramble, we think about being out on the trail, having to use our hands to do some things.
Right. Sometimes there are trails that involve scrambling.
Yeah.
Which usually I would probably describe scrambling legitimately as, like, anytime you got to, like, involve your hands and feet at the same time when it comes to hiking a trail.
Yeah.
We've had to do that quite a bit.
We have. And honestly, I think scrambly trails are my favorite kind of trails.
They are really fun. One of our more famous scrambly trails was Tomichi Route in Black Canyon of the Gunnison in Colorado. Woof. That was a toughie day.
That was like a four-egg scrambler.
Well, that was the 10 out of 10. Tomichi Route was the 10 out of 10, yeah. Which we only have, or 20 out of 20, I guess we should say. We only have a handful of those.
Maybe three.
I can only think of three. It's that one. It's Yosemite Falls.
Yeah.
Oh, no. I know what it is. It's the viewpoint off of...
it's Grinnell the Grinnell Glacier.
Overlook hike from...
Highline.
The Highline Trail in Glacier National Park. That is a short
terror trail.
That is...
You meant to say terror.
Terror. That is a 10 out of 10 without a doubt.
Mm-hmm. And that could be a scramble if you really needed it to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. That's true. Mm. But scrambles are things that happen sometimes, especially when it comes to rocks.
Yeah.
It's often called a rock scramble.
Mm-hmm. And when you might have to circumnavigate something that doesn't just involve the balance of your feet, and you actually have to use your hands. But I think one of our favorite scrambles is probably, for me at least, is Devil's Garden or Devil's Playground, whatever one it is.
Yeah.
In Forever Never
Arches,
Correct.
In Arches National Park.
Mm-hmm.
That is...
A scrambler's delight.
It is a scrambler's delight. That one is like, you know, it's got veggies, it's got cheese, it's got...
It's an ormlet.
It's an ormlet. Mm-hmm. It's a full omelet indeed.
Mm-hmm.
No, that one is really fun. And today's trail definitely required us to do quite a bit of scrambling.
Looking for adventure, I want to follow on the trail, or get a little lost and let the wind fill my sails. Get up when the stars still fill the sky, don't wake the sun. There's so much to be done, and the day has just begun. Go where the postcards are real, you can feel, you can open your eyes and open your heart when you gaze. fireplace at the National Park.
Father, you, I'll follow you there.
At the National Park.
Father, you, I'll follow you there.
At the National Park.
Follow you, I'll follow you there.
Follow you, I'll follow you there.
Like to acknowledge that while hiking and visiting the land also known as Guadalupe Mountains National Park, that we were on the traditional and stolen land of the Mescalero Apache and the Lipan Apache.
So this was our second day of hiking in Guadalupe Mountains National Park and the first hike that we were doing on the second day. The day prior, we actually weren't in Guadalupe Mountains National Park. How we were in Carlsbad Caverns National Park because there was a day that we needed to do a tour and it made the most sense for us to do it in the second day of our travels in this kind of 3-day stretch. So we took a little hiatus from Guadalupe Mountains, went to Carlsbad, and now we're back here in Guadalupe Mountains.
That's right. And those two parks are very nearby. It is very often that when people visit one or the other, they go to the other one as well.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
Now, something that we discovered here is there's some time zone fun that happens here. And to be clear, Carlsbad, New Mexico, which is the place, the town where we were staying, which is the town most people stay in when they visit either one of these parks, Carlsbad Cavern, the National Park, and Guadalupe Mountains National Park are all in mountain time. They are all in mountain time. However, the boundary for Central Time is just south of Guadalupe Mountains National Park, and it's a very remote area. And so back before smartphones, when smartphones, you know, weren't in our pockets all the time, you know, you have to like stop in, or, you know, you have your, maybe you have the clock in the car that you would have to adjust every time you change time zones. Now, with smartphones that automatically change, the problem in this area is that most of this area is so remote that it'll pick up the central time signal, change the phone, and you think that that's the time, when in fact, that's not the time. And your phone might get stuck in that
right until
central
you're back
time,
in like an area where there's better signal and service.
Correct.
Yeah.
So if you notice, anytime you go to the visitor center at Guadalupe Mountains National Park, there is literally a sign that says the time now is this.
Yeah.
And oftentimes the problem that they run into is people will be like, they'll run into people outside that were like, oh, I wanted to come to the visitor center, but I just missed it. You're closed. And they're like, actually, no, we're open another hour. Yeah. You're good. You
yeah.
know? So, because we're in mountain time.
This was not the first time we experienced time zone trickery because we had to deal with this in Teddy Roosevelt National Park as
That was a really fun time zone trickery thing because it was like, that was in and out of central and mountain time depending on the turn that we made.
Uh-huh.
Because the western part of that state is in mountain time mm-hmm. and then the majority of the rest of it is in central time.
Yeah.
We indeed.
So that morning we got up early as per usual and got on the road after having a very hefty breakfast and headed to Guadalupe Mountains National Park from Carlsbad, New Mexico. The drive there kind of had like an ominously beautiful sky. The light was hitting the peaks here of the mountains on this morning, but like the rest of the sky was cloudy, purpley clouds, like just felt very like, oh, wonder what today will bring. I think there was a concern for some rain at some point. So we had the gear that we needed. I think the rain was supposed to come through later that day, and we had planned to do more than just this hike today.
On this day, we were planning to do the Devil's Hall Trail, among other trails, but this is a common recommendation from the NPS. Becky was with us. She also recommended doing this trail in Guadalupe Mountains National Park because she had not done it in a long time. It is an out-and-back trail that is listed as 4.2 miles round trip with a 548 feet elevation gain, which doesn't sound so bad, 548 feet.
Considering what we did on Guadalupe Peak 2 days prior.
Which was like 3,000.
Yeah.
Right.
Not bad at all.
To start this trail, we had to park at the Pine Springs Trailhead. This brought us back to the main visitor center, also known as the Pine Springs Visitor Center. And instead of parking in the parking lot near the visitor center, we parked in the back near the campgrounds.
And near the trailhead for Guadalupe Peak.
Because and in fact, it's the same one.
It's the same starting trail point. Yep. Mm-hmm. So after we parked and we geared up, we started noticing that there was a giant RV and there was a dad with his family who just started talking to us. And, you know, we were just talking about like what we had done. We'd asked them what they were about to hike. They were going up Guadalupe Peak, which this was definitely, when we looked, not the day to do Guadalupe Peak.
It was gray.
And I think the wind warning was much higher. When we originally got in that first day to Carlsbad and we were trying to figure out what we were going to do on the days that saddled either side of our Carlsbad trip, you know, we thought Guadalupe Peak made more sense the first day. And I kind of like to do the heavier hike the first day so you're not feeling so tired for the rest of your time in the park, or the heavier hike for the day before you're doing some easier hikes too.
And I just want to say, this was not just any RV. This was like a tour bus.
Oh, yeah.
This was a tour bus.
This used to be Fleetwood Mac's tour bus.
It looks like it. I mean, it looks like somebody went...
I mean, but nicer.
I just don't think I'm meant to live an uncomfortable life. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And then this tour bus was acquired. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is... I was like, oh, my God. I mean, it was like...
I'm sorry, you were like, what?
Oh, my God.
There it is.
Oh my God, mm-hmm. Look at that tour bus. Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
It was something, for sure.
It was something. And we did chat with them for a little while.
But they happened to be from New Jersey, because of course they were. Well, like originally.
Originally he was from New Jersey. Now they live in Georgia.
Yeah.
He talked a lot about like why he moved to Georgia, taxes in Georgia, like
we talked a lot about education because I talked
districts.
That I was a teacher and we were on break, and he's like, actually the schools are, you know, the New Jersey schools were always very good, and so moving to Georgia it was definitely like a little different, but the schools like right around Atlanta are very good, you know. We were just talking about education in general.
Yeah. Which for a moment I'm just gonna shout out to my girl sitting across the table from me. New Jersey is consistently like number one or two in the country for its mm-hmm. public schools.
And that's all me.
Public as
I just want
as
you
a
to
public
know.
Educator sitting across from me, mm-hmm. it is entirely...
It rests on my shoulders, which is why I'm so stressed and tired all the time.
All the time.
All the time.
So we start off on this trail. And what we do, we start off on foot on the exact same trail we began on 2 days ago when we were doing Guadalupe Peak. It is not long until we hit a fork in the trail. If we were to go left, we'd go up to Guadalupe Peak. That's where they all went. If we go to the right, that takes us to the Tejas Trail, which is essentially what we're going to have to take the whole time in order to get to Devil's Hall.
I think at this point I was like, oh, are we going on that trail that was across the way? Like all the way across the way that we were seeing on the mountains?
We were hiking Guadalupe Peak.
And Becky's like, no.
We're not. So that would be fun, and we do want to do that.
We're going to figure that out. After hiking a little bit down this trail with some elevation gain and loss, because it's not a short burst till we get, you know, to our next major section, which what ends up happening is after a little bit of hiking, we get to a dried out tributary, which is much of the hike. This is interesting because it's very loose stone. I wouldn't say it's scree. It's like river rock, essentially, that you're on. The trail runs along the side of it, essentially.
At least at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Later, it crosses it. Later, the trail is the tributary.
Yeah, yeah.
Later, the trail runs next to it again.
Yeah, it's all over the place.
It's just all in relation to this dried out tributary.
But most of the time, we're walking along this dried area of the trail. At this point, Becky is like, she is on it. She's flying. And, mm-hmm. You know, I'm next in line, and then Dusty is bringing up
the
rear.
In the back, mm-hmm. right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because I had my camera and was taking photos of all the birds. There was definitely, like, some birds we clocked in the sky flying around. Weren't really sure what they were. Those sort of came into view later. But on the way out, I mean, like, anytime I heard, like, a rustling in a tree or a bush, I was trying to get a photo of a bird.
This is also an incredibly gray day. So what sun we had in the morning on the drive-in has now just become a rather cold gray day. We are pretty bundled this entire trail.
That's right. And gray days are the best for photographs.
It's true. Yeah.
Especially with the DSLR.
Mm-hmm.
So hiking up a dry riverbed... Unless you're hiking on a dry, like, waterfall area, typically it's not a ton of like elevation or incline or decline when it comes to like a riverbed. Like a riverbed is often flatter. A tributary is literally like all of the rocks and all of the water from these mountains are like heading down the valleys and into this one gathering area that has become this tributary, right? And so all the rocks here used to be part of the mountain, or all of the rocks are, you know, they used to be around. And there is some light elevation gain when it comes to this trail, because it might be like to continue the trail, you got to go up and over this section on the hill. Like sometimes you have to, we had to hike up onto the embankment and then back down, and then like up and around a tree and then back down. So there is some elevation gain and loss throughout, some like small little steep grunts, and then you get past it.
Prior to the hike, Becky shares with us that this hike had some rough but fun spots. There are three distinct parts of the trail that after hiking it, we'd say kind of define this trail and also give it checkpoints. There are the Rock Scramble, the Staircase, and Devil's Hall, where the trail gets its name.
So the NPS does list this hike as strenuous due to the Rock Scramble and the loose rock surfaces. They also offer a caution about the wash, when it would be safe to hike this hike, because if there is rain, this tributary can get filled with water, mm-hmm. because
flash flooding.
All the water is coming from those mountains. It's got to go somewhere, you know, look for the river, and it's coming right into this tributary. And you don't want to get washed away in this, especially if there's giant boulders.
Becky had mentioned the Rock Scramble prior to arriving, and she was curious what it would be like now, because she hadn't done it in quite some time. And this is the end of the hike. This is towards the terminal point. So we're not there yet, but it's something that we're just kind of keeping in mind in the back of our heads.
Something to like, to go a little, to dig into like Mike's weather anxiety brain, because Mike has all of the weather anxiety for both of us. I have none. I'm just sort of like, yeah, let's go and let's see. Okay, I guess we'll turn around. And Mike's like, no, this is what's happening. And if we're here, this is going to be bad. So respect.
All the respect this episode. Neuroses, breaking education. My body and soul through education.
There it is.
It's amazing I don't have worse habits.
I'm thinking about how, you know, timing tides and things like that, as far as like being able to do certain hikes. I think it's also important to really deeply consider what weather is doing, especially when it comes to a wash hike, mm-hmm. like this, because we don't talk about wash hikes that often. Mm-mm. But a wash hike in particular can be a very unsafe thing if there is rain. Mm-hmm. And so knowing if that's happening, I mean, like the Narrows could be considered a wash hike in Zion. And yeah. It's like, if there is rain,
well, it's like a river hike.
Buddy has to get out of the Narrows, right? That's just a really important thing to consider. So we finally approach the first section that really defines this trail, the Rock Scramble that we'd heard so much about. There were a ton of giant rocks, and that were going to require some real thoughtful and foot and hand placement in order to traverse. So we take a look at it and we put our bouldering skills to work and we start to strategize.
And with that, let's take our first break.
Hey y'all, it's Dusty and Mike with exciting news.
That's right, it's our episode finder. It's all about making finding our episodes even easier.
Want to find more episodes about hikes in Shenandoah? With over 10 episodes across two separate seasons, it would have involved a lot of scrolling and searching.
Now, with our episode finder, you can find all those episodes with a few easy clicks. That way, finding an episode on Yosemite from season 1 is just as easy as finding an episode on Zion, Yellowstone, and Haleakala, all in separate seasons.
With over 275 episodes in 35 different national parks, our episode finder will add ease when finding out more about hikes in these spaces.
But it's not just about hikes by national park. We've categorized our entire library so you can find hikes by state, hikes by terrain, and hikes by difficulty.
And all of our Trail Mix episodes are there too, so you can easily find our science-based episodes, interviews, and more.
Planning a trip to Colorado and want to hear more about our adventures there? Want to grunt it out on some really tricky trails or learn more about glaciers, grasslands, and mountains?
Just click the link in our show notes or on our Instagram bio and it pops right up. You can also head directly to our website and look for the episode finder at the top of the navigation bar.
Conquer one hike in one national park, one park at a time, with just a few clicks with our episode finder. Happy trails!
Looking for some new art inspired by the national parks? Then be sure to check out our online store, The Gaze Shop.
This season, as we explore the landscapes of Olympic National Park, Mount Rainier National Park, Carlsbad Cavern National Park, and Guadalupe Mountains National Park, we've got some new items and designs coming your way.
Introducing our Olympic National Park and Mount Rainier National Park posters. These 12 by 18 posters make a great addition to any home or office, or a great gift for any lover of the national parks, even if that national parks lover is you.
Whether it's art for your wall or a sticker for your water bottle, you're sure to find something that sparks your love of the outdoors. Visit shop.gazeatthenationalparks.com to bring some of the national parks home with you.
Welcome to our first break where we play a game, everybody. We've done this forever since we started the show. We often play trail games, but often we use this space as a way to come up with new games. And so I've come up with a new game. This game is called
Apparently.
A Candle for Your Enemies. Mm-hmm. You have to create a candle specifically to give your enemies, and I want to know what it would smell like.
Oh, okay. A candle for your enemies. I got it. I was like, oh, what magic game are we playing right now where, like, the candle burns down and at this point all of their hair falls out?
I mean, we could add that too. There could be sorcery involved.
Oh, I mean, I'm always here for sorcery. Okay, a candle for your enemies.
What does it smell like?
Do I have to name an enemy, or is it just like
free-floating enemies? No, your enemies are your own. That is your own personal knowledge. Great. We don't need to know who they are. All I'm interested in is what does it smell like?
What does it smell like?
You get to craft a candle to give to them.
A candle to give to them. Well, I think anything that is going to smell bad, it has to have been like sitting and rotting in the heat. So like that has to be an element of this candle, like heat rot.
Heat rot.
Rotted cabbage in the July sun.
Oh, yeah. I like that. I like
it's
that
It's got a
too.
Nice ring to it too, right? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Now the next task is you get to title your candle.
Title my candle, like the company or
no, not the company. The what is the scent of this candle? Uh-huh. Like that's like a description of it. Uh-huh. But what title would you give this fragrance? Or this, and let's fragrance is connotative of a lovely smell.
Odor.
This stench that you're creating for this candle.
It would be called Hot Green Nightmare.
Oh, I like that. Mm-hmm. Hot Green Nightmare. Mm-hmm. That's fun. Mm-hmm. Okay, great.
What about you?
There's a really distinct smell of like when meat has been rotting that causes maggots to like...
You have trauma around this.
I do. Mm-hmm. Maggots to like sort of form and like birth and like come alive, right? Mm-hmm. And it's so horrifying. So that is the smell I would create for this candle, right? I think, and I would probably call it like maggot paradise.
But I think you would have to spell it capital M-A-G-A-T paradise.
Yeah. Okay, great. And that's candle for your enemies.
This smells like self-tanner and loathing.
Self-tanner and loathing. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's true. Okay, so here we are. We're in the middle of the wash. Gigantic boulders that we have to deal with. And then lots of like smaller rocks throughout. So we begin to scramble through the rocks. It was very helpful having boots on.
Yeah, this was not a non-boot hike. There were very few. And we learned our lesson from Smith and Manzanita Spring.
That's right.
We did.
This was a time where hiking poles were really doing their job, right? Like stabilize on another rock, check a rock, see if it moves, that kind of thing. And then also like jab the hiking pole into the earth so that you can like take a step to the next boulder. Lots of stabilizing happening.
Which is good because I'm not. we were all at our own pace here during this section. This, if you are unaware or haven't listened, is some of my favorite way to hike. Like this, when it's like, use your brain, climb over things. Like, oh my God, look at this. You're doing something different. Your leg is up by your shoulder. Now it's over your head. And now you're putting it down. All of that stuff is fun for me. So I am flying.
You were flying and jumping and hopping through like a kangaroo. Yep. I mean, mm-hmm. it was like boop, 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 boop. There goes Mike.
Yep.
Becky was like, does he always go this fast through this stuff? And I was like, this is his favorite thing in the world. Mm-hmm. I'm like, this is the like childhood he never had.
When I was young, I never needed anyone.
So Becky was thoughtfully and very intentionally taking very careful steps through all of this. I was too, and also distracted by birds. So I was moving even slower, but we were all thrilled about everything that we were seeing. It was warming up. So now we had to delayer. I'm not going to lie. This was like a 15-minute ordeal to delayer.
Because well, we had a lot going on.
We did. We passed, I was taking photos of birds. It was like we had to each find a rock that like where we could put our like totally take our pack off, then take off the layers that we wanted to, then fold them down, pack them up, also take a break and maybe eat a snack.
Yeah,
also
water.
Get some water. Yeah. Also get this. Also put on more sunscreen. I mean, it's like it's a whole thing.
It was a thing.
This entire section of this trail was an exercise in finding the path of least resistance.
Like water would if it was running down the wash.
Like water, exactly. Yeah. So, because there was a time where you, like there was this complicated section of boulders and you were like, I put my right foot here, my left foot here, I put the pole here, and then I jumped down to here.
Oh yeah, I was doing all
and
the beta work.
Becky was like, okay, I'm gonna sit here and slide and then put my pole there. And you know, so we were all trying different like ways to maneuver and navigate.
Again, favorite parts of trails are these parts. This was a blast and it definitely is one of the most memorable parts of the trails. I don't think it could have gotten any better than this, but we were pleasantly surprised.
That's right. Mm-hmm. We continue up the wash and finally get past the rock scramble, and we thought this trail could not outdo itself, but hey queen girl, look, you've done it again, constantly raising the bar for all of us and doing it flawlessly. To quote Michelle Obama to Beyonce. Because off to the left now, one could take the Tejas Trail and continue on to the right, but in order to go to Devil's Hall you actually have to head off to the left. And to the left, we look, and there is a giant cascading slate wall known as the staircase. Becky gets very excited because she knew this. She knew that this was coming up and was waiting for it. And we were like, oh my God, we have to go up this.
It's a little daunting. Becky definitely says when she had done this the last time, the base of this was much higher. So like the base of the, you know, the staircase had eroded down so much since she had been here last, and I can't remember when the last time when she had said she had been there. We were like, okay, we're doing this. This is essentially, after this point, the terminal point. There's a little bit more that you are able to do, but it's not too much further to get to the payoff. This is like payoff one, by the way.
This is, yeah.
It's a great payoff.
It is the second checkpoint of the trail, I'd say, but it is payoff number one. This is a very cool section, and it is very near to the very end, which is the actual proper Devil's Hall. So we stand there, we're excited, we're curious, we're scared, we're wondering how we're going to ascend this cascade wall. It's about three times as tall as we are, and it's on a slant. And
it's kind of like an amphitheater almost.
Yeah.
Like,
and it's leading to this like canyon like area with like even higher walls. So the slate protrudes out, creating natural steps, and it curves around these hugging walls to the right and left. And there look to be like wider steps on the outer edges of the wall and narrower steps toward the center.
It's going to take a lot of strategy for us to do this. It is most likely going to be an all fours ascension. So hands, feet, knees, whatever we got. So I go up first and I head up the center. And I do this fairly easy. I make it to the landing. This is also like the pole had to go in the backpack. You needed your hands and feet. So like you needed the pole to be out of your hands. You could have left it at the bottom of the stairs and picked it up later. There was no one behind us. We were alone on this trail.
That's right.
Until we headed back. Like, yeah. So that was also a possibility.
During this, I hugged the right side and I took some of the larger steps. It proves to be pretty painless on the way up. It was still an all fours endeavor nonetheless. And it was like crawling the rungs of a slanted ladder. Becky sort of went up the center after both of us went. And I remember like she tossed stuff to us that we had to grab. And then like I think we helped her up at the center at the end.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. when you get to the top of the staircase, we took a moment to regroup and we take a look down at where we came from. At the top of the stairs, there are these almost like two towers on either side of stone wall. It almost looks like ruins. That's the cool thing about this. Like, you feel like you have stepped into the ruins of some castle that's no longer standing. And that's not even the real cool part. I mean, yes, it's incredible, but there's other cool things to come. At the top, find that we walk a little bit more, and then we find we're in this canyon type area, and there is a puddle of water that has gathered here in this spot, and we have to walk around it as to not disturb anything that's maybe growing inside of this pool. This is like almost like immediately after ascending. We have to like circumnavigate this.
The curved walls here are very smooth, and we walk between them as they lead us to what would be the terminal point of this trail. Obviously, the thing that Becky was talking about, the base of that wall being lower now than it was before, is because of more years of like water running through this area and like pooling there and then bouncing down the wash.
Sponsored by what?
Erosion. So these curved walls, they finally lead us to what is the ending point of this trail. And we turn to the right and we finally see it, Devil's Hall.
And with that, let's take our second break.
Hey y'all, it's Dusty and Mike with exciting news.
That's right, it's our episode finder. It's all about making finding our episodes even easier.
Want to find more episodes about hikes in Shenandoah? With over 10 episodes across two separate seasons, it would have involved a lot of scrolling and searching.
Now, with our episode finder, you can find all those episodes with a few easy clicks. That way, finding an episode on Yosemite from season 1 is just as easy as finding an episode on Zion, Yellowstone, and Haleakala, all in separate seasons.
With over 275 episodes in 35 different national parks, our episode finder will add ease when finding out more about hikes in these spaces.
But it's not just about hikes by national park. We've categorized our entire library so you can find hikes by state, hikes by terrain, and hikes by difficulty.
And all of our Trail Mix episodes are there too, so you can easily find our science-based episodes, interviews, and more.
Planning a trip to Colorado and want to hear more about our adventures there? Want to grunt it out on some really tricky trails or learn more about glaciers, grasslands, and mountains?
Just click the link in our show notes or on our Instagram bio and it pops right up. You can also head directly to our website and look for the episode finder at the top of the navigation bar.
Conquer one hike in one national park, one park at a time, with just a few clicks with our episode finder. Happy trails!
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage.
Ma'am Zanita.
Ma'am Zanita. Mm-hmm. Okay, inspired by Manzanita Spring, ma'am.
And Manzanita Trees.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And ma'am's Manzanita Trees, ma'am Zanita. Mm-hmm. God, I love this name. Mm-hmm. First of all, I like any name where the first name is ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
Ma'am. Ma'am Zanita. Mm-hmm. So who is Ma'am Zanita?
Well, Ma'am Zanita, for me, I was the one that came up with this name. I will toot my horn on this. We were walking and I was like, oh my God. And I turned to the both of you and you're like, what? I was like, Ma'am Zanita. And we all laughed about it. Ma'am Zanita is a Matron Mama Morton character come to life. That's who she is. She's larger than life. She is this like incredible singer who is like 11 o'clock number all the time.
Oh, is it like jazz lounge? Mm-hmm. Loud.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. Sparkly outfits.
So it's like a drag persona that is just an incredibly fabulous live jazz singer.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, I love that. I
feel like
this.
It has that feeling of like flapper era, you know. Jazz.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Coming to life for mm-hmm. sure.
Yeah.
Headbands big band. And all. Yeah, big band. Absolutely.
Oh, I'm into this. Uh-huh. I like this a lot. Mm-hmm.
But I also think it could be fun to like take some very modern songs and make them in jazz time.
Oh,
like,
certainly.
You know, like do them as that. I feel like that's sort of her kitsch there of what she's doing.
Great. So she's an act you would see in some kind of jazz club, I would imagine, like a dinner club where you get dinner, there's a dance floor, you can dance, everybody's wearing like formals, you know what I mean? And like, it's a proper formal event.
Absolutely.
Ma'am Zanita.
Ma'am Zanita. Does she have any merch?
Maybe it's like she has like an iconic, like maybe there's some kind of iconic, like, because the Manzanita tree has a very specific kind of like branch style.
Well, and it's I'm
wondering if there's like a necklace pendant or something that's like in the style of that branch that she always wears.
Yeah.
That you could purchase for yourself on the way out.
Hmm. Okay. I like that.
Or if there's some kind of bloom from that, maybe does she wear that in her hair?
I think Manzanita trees were also used very highly for their medicinal purposes. So I'm wondering if there's some like tinctures that one could purchase.
I like that.
Yeah. Some Manzanita tinctures.
Some natural tinctures. Mm-hmm. I'm into that. Great. So Thaddeus and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage.
Manzanita.
So here we are. We're at Devil's Hall, which also kind of feels like a temple.
Yeah, absolutely.
What was your initial reaction?
Reverence. Like, this is like, if I was worshiping anywhere in nature, to the nature spirits, it would be here. It felt incredibly, like, this is one of those moments where I'm just awed by natural splendor. Like, totally, 1,000%. What about you?
Same. Mm-hmm. It was like a place that sort of pulled reverence out of you. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like there was a certain level of respect and a level of sacredness to this entire space.
Yeah.
Now, to describe it, it is like a narrow slot canyon. It is very tall with high slate walls, with slate running in the same direction on either side. It is also named the temple because it absolutely feels like that.
Totally.
And it does feel like a sacred space carved by time.
Yeah.
I remember the temperature change.
It was cold here.
Our disposition changed. Yeah. Everything changed. Mm-hmm. There was no one else here. So we took lots of time to it's not very long to walk through it. I mean, it's not a long structure. Or natural structure, I should say. It's like a few hundred feet, mm-hmm, maybe. Mm-hmm. And then we took our time walking through. So much peace, so much solitude brought out the peace and solitude inside of us.
Yeah. It was almost like, oh, we're back. We're kids and we're back in church, like quiet. Like, enjoy the solitude. Enjoy the peace that's there. We do take a walk through. And again, it is beautiful. The whole time we're here, even when we turn around to leave, no one is here in the temple. But we do take some time and we sit at the back where it opens up again. And we sit and we snack. And we just have some lunch here. And we take a bunch of quiet time here. There's a lot of like birds and animals happening back in this section. So this was nice to just like listen to the bird song, to like look up at the walls of the canyon that we could see. I definitely finished eating and started taking some more photos and kind of like meandered a little further back to where we were. Yeah. And then eventually after we took our rest, we decided to start our trek back.
Yeah. We said goodbye to the temple, mm-hmm, and the sort of like incredibly reverent time we got there. This would be a hike that anytime I go to Guadalupe Mountains National Park, I will be going to Devil's Hall.
Yeah.
Because it's just not a space to miss.
No, not at all. No, I think it was my favorite hike, honestly. Yeah.
We head back toward the staircase, mm-hmm, and now this is going to require us to go back down.
This is where we start to see people. Some people have come up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're like heading into Devil's Hall, mm-hmm, as we were walking out. But we now get back to the staircase, mm-hmm, and we have to navigate it.
Mm-hmm.
Which direction did you go on the way down?
So I hugged, if you're looking out at the staircase, I hugged the wall to the right.
From above?
If you're at the landing, I went to the right, and there is like a, like you can follow like the ledge work of the slate here and hug the wall like along that. And that was sort of my beta. And then you followed me.
I did. Yeah. I followed you. And in the middle of that, all of my fear of heights were, mm-hmm, triggered, and mm-hmm, it was not great. I was, mm-hmm, like, oh my God, I'm frozen and I'm stuck and I can't, mm-hmm, move. Mm-hmm. And you were like, do you want to take your pack off? Do you want to give it to me? Do you want to give me your hiking poles? I was like, I'm not into finding solutions right now. I'm terrified. But I figured it out.
Cleaned
I figured
out.
It out, and I made it down. but it was mostly like because it was like, okay, I have to take every move like it's a strategy.
Yeah.
I'm putting this, my hand here and I'm moving here and just take as much time as you need. So,
I mean, this was truly like the tricky part of the trail.
Yeah.
Like the other scramble that we did prior to this is small potatoes considering. And it's not the worst here by any means, but it is something you have to be thoughtful about, both ascent and descent.
Yeah. Going back down was not elegant. Mm-hmm. There were times I had to crawl on all fours. It was what it was.
Yeah.
But we do finally make it back down. Becky, I think also, I think Becky
went down the left wall.
She did.
Yeah.
Yeah. We finally all get down the staircase and then we make it back out into the wash. Mm-hmm. We make our way out and very quickly we are back at the rock scramble.
Yeah.
So we're heading through it again. We remember the things we did on the way in, but this time we knew what we were in for and how to navigate it a little bit better.
And I think we were also like a lot of this wash was actual ascent. So you were climbing up, albeit slowly. So we were descending through the wash now. So it was like, okay, it's like a little bit of like, just put your foot here. You're not climbing up as much. You have gravity at your like disposal to go down. But it definitely still took time for sure. It's not saying that we like scrambled and ran through this. We are ready to get back to the car. It is only a 4.2 mile out and back, but we had done a lot. And the day prior in Carlsbad, which we'll talk about in our next suite of episodes before the season's over, there was a lot of walking happening there. We were in sneakers. We were able to be in sneakers. Oh, no, maybe we were in boots. I think we were in boots.
In Carlsbad?
Yeah, I think we had to be in boots for the cave. I think it was recommended.
Yeah, I don't remember. We can find photos.
Yeah. But I think we were just like, we had done a lot in the 2 days that we'd already been on the trip, and we were ready to just like have a minute. So as we're hiking and kind of now dipping in and out of the wash as we get further along, there are a bunch of like cactuses and plant life. And this is always cool to be able to hike. Becky knows so much about plants and plant life. So she's like, look at this cactus over here. You can see like it's breaking down and you can see like the webbing inside of it and like the individual cells that are making up and building the structure of the cactus. And it was really cool. It was like cactus skeleton, essentially. And it was neat to see that like final stage of life of the cactus, because you're used to cactuses in a very specific way. And I think this was a paddle cactus that we were looking at. But yeah, it's the desert is so different from everything we experience on the East Coast. We don't have plant life like that. So it's really neat to see something like this.
So after we return, we head to the visitor center and we did the exhibition area because we had been in there for a minute before.
The first day, but we decided
we wanted to actually like properly see the interpretive stuff that they have in the visitor center. And they have quite a few animals.
They do.
Lots like of information about the wildlife here in this area. And yes, lots of taxidermied.
Yeah.
And that was our adventure on the Devil's Hall Trail. Okay, I think we both agree. This could be our favorite hike in Guadalupe Mountains.
I think so. Guadalupe Peak was great, but this is cool.
What a special place.
Very, very cool. Yeah.
Oh my God, do this. Don't miss this.
Do not miss it.
Karen Stone scale, what are we giving this?
I'm going with a 5. What about you?
I'm going with a 6.
Okay.
Mostly because that rock scramble is no kidding, is no joke. And that that staircase is like a thing you got to deal with.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I think I'm a little biased because that stuff I really like. So yeah. That's why it's a 5 for me. I thought 6 for a minute, but I'm like, no, but I had so much fun on it.
I had so much fun too. Yeah. It was just, you know, some thoughtful navigation.
Yeah.
So with that, that's 11 out of 20 Karen Stones. And so let's end this episode like we end all of our episodes with some Jeopardy style trivia. For the record, everybody, Mike and I have been writing Jeopardy-style trivia games for years. It's been a part of our friendship for a very long time. That's why we end every episode with it. So, Mike, why don't you get us started today?
Great, I will. So, my Jeopardy is inspired by the word Devil's Hall, and I took from something we've talked about often, but still haven't done anything with. I was inspired by Dante's Inferno for this Jeopardy.
Oh, okay.
And my Jeopardy is called Welcome to Hell.
We want to shout out Tina Fey on the Amy Poehler podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Good hang.
Tina listens to us all the time.
All the time. And What did they say? You're going to have to call God. They were like, you're going to have to just call God.
No, when like you get to, when you die. And
no,
then
no, no, no.
You,
they oh. were saying like.
Oh, it's people who can't deal with the fact that they're going to die. Very rich people.
Yeah. That, like who are, yeah. Oh, you can call my guy, meaning like yeah, my
surgeon who's going to like prolong my life.
Exactly. And it's like, no, I think you have to just call God. And then God says.
Welcome to hell.
Right. Exactly. Okay.
So this is all about the 9 circles of hell. So you're going to just be answering questions
okay,
about that.
I'm mm-hmm. ready.
What a bright, cheery topic.
Let's go.
Great. For 100. According to Dante, this second circle of hell is for those who succumbed to this carnal sin. Also an anagram for what Blanche was called by the rest of the Golden Girls for her abilities as a man eater.
What is slut?
But what's the anagram of that? What can you change that to? What circle of hell would that be?
Lust.
There you go.
Got it.
What is slut? The title of my memoir. All right, for 200. According to Dante, this first circle of hell is for those who never were baptized or who never knew Christ. Its name, similar to a dance party contest of backbending under a horizontal pole which keeps getting lower, was probably just not as fun.
What is limbo?
Correct. For 300. According to Dante, the fifth circle of hell would contain those whose temper tends to flare and could also be described as this Lewis Black voiced character from Inside Out, though as one of the 7 deadly sins, it has a different name.
What is malice? Anger? Mm-hmm.
I'll take anger, but what would it be if it was the 7 deadly sin?
It's not ire. It's not...
Starts with a W.
No.
What's wrath?
Wrath. Mm-hmm. There we go.
Mm-hmm. For 300, according to Dante, you, me, and 98% of the men at the Kylie Minogue concert would end up in this 7th circle of hell. It seems like an odd placement considering this circle is reserved for those that could complete this phrase, or these phrases, gun blank, mob blank, and gang blank.
What is gun totin', mob totin', and gang totin'?
What is violence? Gun violence, oh, mob violence, and gang violence.
We would be put in violence?
Yeah.
For
sodomites.
Oh, for homosexuality.
Yeah.
Okay, I see.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Great.
Great.
And finally, for 500, the 9th and final circle of hell to Dante would contain the following people: Benedict Arnold, Judas Iscariot, Guy Fawkes, and most recently, Dylan Efron, in that they were all this.
What are traitors?
That's correct.
Dylan Efron.
And that's circles of hell.
Dylan Efron was forgiven, though.
Mm-hmm.
But all hot people are.
By the gays.
He was forgiven by everybody.
By the people from the 7th circle.
Right. Okay. All right. Are you ready for my category? Mm-hmm.
I am. I hope it's hell-based, too. Because we're hellraisers.
I wish it were. Mm-hmm. It is not hell-based.
Oh.
It is called Devil's Hall of Fame.
Oh.
So in this category, you are going to have to identify the people who appear in TV and film whose last name is Hall.
Oh, great.
Great. But love they it. All have like a connection to devil or devilishness in the clue.
Okay.
So for 100, this handsome devil is an acclaimed comedian, actor, and talk show host. He is most known for his work as host and producer of the talk show named for him, as well as an actor in the film Coming to America.
Who is Arsenio Hall?
Correct. For 200, a British actress known for Vicky Cristina Barcelona, Christine the Prestige, and facing devils left and right in the horror thriller films The Awakening and The Gift, and appearing in the new series The Studio, her father was the artistic director of the Royal Shakespeare Company, and she shares a first name with the woman that Ambassador Franklin left his wife for.
Who is Rebecca Hall?
Correct. Correct. For 300. While this actor appeared on TV in... thank you. That was the Devil Wears Prada reference, everybody. Mm-hmm. While this actor appeared on TV in 6 Feet Under and in Kill Your Darlings, and also on stage playing the MC in Cabaret and the title character in Hedwig and the Angry Inch on Broadway, both times replacing the original actors in the production, he is probably most known for this devil-like central character of Dexter, who appeared as the detective by day and killer by night.
Who's Anthony Michael Hall?
Incorrect.
Who is... It's not Anthony Michael Hall.
No, and that's time. We were looking for Michael C. Hall.
Michael C. Hall.
Yeah.
Mm.
Okay, great. For 400. Known for facing parodies of devilish
and that's
creatures.
Time. Get out of here. When have we ever done that?
Today. Known for facing parodies of devilish creatures in the scary movie franchises. This actress is also known for her work in Girls Trip, The Best Man, Nine Perfect Strangers, Black Monday, and Shaft, among others, and shares a first name with the Latin word meaning queen.
What is Regina? Who is Regina Hall?
Correct. Mm-hmm. God, and for 500, I love her too. For 500.
Sydney, it's Bones.
For 500. This actor in his younger years could have been confused with young Neil Patrick Harris, especially since they both have three name monikers. While now he can be seen in Reacher, The Goldbergs, and Awkward, he began his career in John Hughes films like Weird Science, 16 Candles, and the iconic Breakfast Club.
Who is Anthony Michael Hall?
There he is. There now he you is. Got it that time.
Looking for more episodes like the one you just heard? Then be sure to check out our episode finder for episodes by park, state, hiking difficulty, and terrain, as well as all of our Trail Mix episodes in one helpful place. Click the link in the show notes of this episode, our Instagram bio, or visit our website to make your listening experience even easier.
This has been Gaze at the National Parks, the podcast, and we're here to remind you to hike early and hike often, and that adventure is always out there.
Gaze at the National Parks was created, produced, edited, and hosted by us,
Dustin Ballard
and Michael Ryan.
To see images from this episode, follow our Instagram at Gaze at the National Parks. To contact us, email us at gazeatthenationalparks@gmail.com. And to find out more about the parks visited on this show, visit our website, gazeatthenationalparks.com. That's Gaze, G-A-Z-E.
All original artwork featured on Instagram and on our website is by me, Michael Ryan.
All original music was written and performed by Dave Seaman and Mariella Klinger, with Sean Sklios on guitar. Our music producer is Skylar Fortgang.
We would also like to acknowledge that while recording this episode, that we were on the traditional and stolen lands of the Lenape people, also known as New Jersey.